International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, you know who I am. I'm Constance Arnold, host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And I am coming to you from beautiful but a little cloudy Atlanta, GA, also known as the ATL. Guess what? I'm so happy, so excited, so grateful that you made a decision to tune in today. Y'all, I've been meditating before the show, and I can tell you, you better put your seatbelt on because your life is going to be radically changed. Well, before I forget, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers, whether you are a biological mother. I never birthed children, but guess what? I am mothering people all over the world, and for that, I am grateful. This is not a day to feel sad. If your mother has made her transition, you're grateful for the gift of bringing life to you, and think about all of the great times that all you guys had together. So what do I want to say? Follow me on social media, TikTok, Law of Attraction, Constance. Man, I've been doing some powerful TikTok videos this week. Ooh, you better check me out. And Instagram, Law of Attraction, Constance. Additionally, my YouTube channel, Constance Arnold. And of course, Facebook is Coach with Constance. This week, I went live on YouTube. I just love connecting with all of you all and on Facebook. So follow me on social media. Of course, my website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I have two books. One is Secrets of Success, which we're going to be talking a little bit about today. And if you are looking, searching, praying, hoping for love, stop all of that and get my book, How to Attract and Manifest Genuine Love. Is there anything else? Oh, I know that this show is a blessing to you. I give you a first class stellar shows every week. So I'm thanking you in advance for your donation. You can go to my website to make your donation. What am I doing with it? I am assisting women in Africa with teachings and trainings that will help them to make different choices in life. If you want to cash at me, $ Constance Arnold. So let's get the show on the road. So today, I have a special guest, and then I am going to be teaching you on your beliefs create your reality. It ain't the devil. It ain't the zodiac signs. Is it retrograde? Whatever that is. Your core beliefs are always creating your reality. So what I'm doing today is giving you an example of that. And then in part two, I'm going to come back and teach you. So I have a beautiful lady all the way from, I think, Maryland,
yes,
Virginia, Maryland, Miss Danielle Richardson. And Danielle has the courage to come on and share about her life and her story. Man, she is such a transformed, change, radically thinking different woman now. So Danielle, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you for having me, Coach Constance. It is, I feel privileged and blessed to be on your show and to share my story. So thank you.
Don't start crying now. That's why I didn't put on my eyelashes. So Danielle, I want you to share at the level that you feel comfortable with. But I wanted you to come on as exhibit A of a woman whose life has radically changed. So y'all, we're talking about how your beliefs, unbeknownst to you, I'm going to talk about where do your beliefs come from, your parents, your past experience. And a belief is just a thought and an emotion and experience that turns into behavior and choices that you make. So let's start with you, Danielle.
Okay.
Kind of tell the listeners, what was your life like before you started coaching?
So if I can just take you back to my childhood. So as early as I can remember, I've been codependent, right? I remember telling my mother, I probably was about 4 or 5, you know, who took care of you before I was here? And she said, well, I'm grown. And I said, well, no, somebody had to take care of you because I'm here to take care of you. Now, my mother was not sickly. She was a functioning woman, all limbs working, sound mind and body. Mm-hmm. But I felt responsible for her at a young age. And then to add to that, when my little brother was born, my mother literally sat him in my arms and said, this is your baby. You have to take care of him. And my entire life, well into adulthood, after being married, divorced, having my own child, I felt responsible for my brother, who at that time was and still is a grown man. And I realized the dysfunction in it, but it was normal to me. So I continued to operate in it. And I thought it noble to put others before me. But in the meanwhile, I'm suffering in silence. I'm depriving myself of self-love and care because my thought was, oh, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so I'm just giving all this love to my neighbor, but forgetting to love myself, right? And it was around the time, I guess about 2017, 2018. And by then my mother had been very ill with Alzheimer's. And I said, I need some help, like therapy help. Talking to my girlfriends were great. However, they're not therapists. Just like if I had breast cancer, I definitely would not go to my friends seeking medical advice, right, or treatment. So I go to a counselor and I'm speaking with her. And folks, let me tell you, every therapist is not for you. So if you realize that you're not seeing the results or it's not comforting to your spirit, start looking for someone else. And that's what happened to me. So that first therapist, it was something missing, right? And I didn't feel healed. I didn't feel whole. I felt judged. I felt like her opinion, she had a lot of opinions about me. So in actuality, I left those sessions feeling worse than I did in going in. So I continued to live life. And in 2019, I started the year, I had walking pneumonia. Then I had bronchitis.
From not taking care of yourself, feeling overly responsible,
yes.
Giving to others while you abandon your own soul.
Abandoned, completely abandoned. Bronchitis. Then I ended up having horrible kidney stones where I couldn't even pass them. I had to have surgery. And then I had an asthma attack. And then I had an episode of anaphylactic shock. And that's from January to June.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when I went to my doctor after having had the anaphylactic shock and being in the hospital, the doctor simply looked at me. He said, I have cared for you for 11 years. And he said, you've never been this sick. He said, if you don't find some place to place your mother, he said, I promise you, you will not live to see December. And that's when I realized self-care and self-preservation is important. Because what good is it for me to sacrifice my whole life thinking I'm saving someone, yet killing myself? And I put my mother in a facility. And as we all know, a few months later, COVID happened. She became ill. I questioned my decision.
Did you feel guilty?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. And I heard God speak so clear. He said, you are not her God. You are her child. He said, I am her God and I decide what happens. And I said, And I said, okay, I hear you, Lord. And I let God's will be done. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen because I cannot make the sun rise nor set. So there it was. She fought COVID. She healed from it. We got her out of that nursing home, found her a better facility that's small and more, personal care. And so I began to live my life, and the caregiver at that new facility simply looked at me and said, "Are you single?" And I said, "I am." And she said, "But why?" And I said, "Well, I got all this stuff going on." And she said, "Well, first of all, I'm going to take care of your mother, so that's one less worry. So don't worry about her." She said, "But you need to be living your life." And I thought I was living my life because I traveled a lot. I was always out and about, had girls' trips, and just enjoying myself. But I realized with relationships, I had this belief. It was fear-based, right? So my false belief, core beliefs, because I'll call them false, were taught to me that a man has to be, a high earner. You don't want anybody that's not making all of this money and can do all these things for you. So I just kept to myself. I was like, I'm good. And then if I thought about it, I said, well, if I do date somebody, maybe they'll try to take my earnings as well, right?
Can you
If
trust
they,
men? Was that one of your beliefs?
one of them, absolutely could not trust men, they're going to cheat eventually. My mother used to always say to me when I was raising my daughter, don't bring those men around her. They may hurt her or try to abuse her. So I operated in a lot of fear, and I literally closed my heart off to love. Did I date guys? Absolutely, but never with the intention of longevity or having a relationship, a long-term relationship.
Okay, let me pause right here because Danielle, she's sharing some powerful truth. We're going to get back to love, but she felt overly responsible. You see, codependency, the reason I start with codependency in coaching is because they are deeply rooted core beliefs. And I'm going to talk to you about that in part two. It's feeling overly responsible, not knowing how to set boundaries, being in denial about how much you're giving, being extremely loyal, even though loyalty isn't deserved, not really sharing how you feel because you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Not even being in touch with your own self, being a caregiver. Putting your own needs a second while focusing on the needs of others, abandoning your own soul. I could go on and on. And here is Danielle thinking she's not, now she's a bad girl now. She got it going on professionally and business-wise. And she was traveling, she was doing all of the stuff, but she was operating in dysfunctional codependent behavior. It was normalized to her because one characteristic of codependency is not knowing what normal is. But deep in her heart, even feeling guilty and shame, don't shift, don't change, don't have fun, responsible for the whole family legacy and carrying the weight of that. She was never created by God to carry the weight of all of that. And
Absolutely.
that impacted her. I wanted to interject that. And you
Yes.
see, a core belief comes from our parents. We're not mad at our parents. They did the best they could, but we repeat it. We think about it. We think it's normal, and we make choices from that place. So with Danielle, even with love, she had core beliefs.
I did. And you know what's so amazing? So when my mother first became ill, a pastor who I'm not really that close to, but I know him, dropped off a gift for me. And it was a book, Codependent No More. And I looked at that book and said,
I
I'm
did
not
not
married
know
to an
that.
alcoholic. And I put it up on my shelf. Yeah, he dropped it off. He said, "Danielle, I need you to read this book. You know, I know you're caring for your mother. And mind you, I might have met this gentleman maybe twice before then. He and I have a friend in common. So my friend would oftentimes say, "Oh, pastor asked about you." And I'm like, tell him I said hello. And so he'd let the pastor know that my mother was sick. And the Holy Spirit, because that's all it was, had him bring me that book. And I looked at it because my definition of codependency was alcoholism. Being married to an alcoholic is all I ever knew about codependency. So when I saw the book, I went, thank you, Pastor. And I put it on my bookshelf, like, he's crazy. Well, once I met you
What was
in
the first
20,
book I recommended that you read?
no more. I said, okay, God, you're trying to tell me something. And mind you, it was a 4-year gap in between him giving me that book and me meeting you. And it still was on
Wow.
that bookshelf, dusty and untouched. I don't even know if I may have read the first 2 pages back
Yeah.
then.
And that's the difference in having, and I'm not bragging on myself, but just the truth, in having a therapist and a coach.
Yes.
Because a therapist deals with your core beliefs, and then a coach teaches you through strategies and all the other stuff. It's just like putting on perfume day after day and you haven't taken a bath.
Correct.
Your core beliefs drives, directs, and determines your choices. 95% of your subconscious mind is playing music in the background, and that's how you are making your choice. And
And so much so, in you working with me to drill deep to discover what those core beliefs were, it was hard. It was hard because I believed my core beliefs and did not see the dysfunction in them. And as you're showing me how to peel back my own onion, and I began to peel back. Trust me, it was a lot of tears, just like any onion will give you. Those real emotional onions created a lot of tears, but I had to go through that pain and it hurt. And I'm happy that I did it and continue to do it because the layers keep evolving. So, yep, I discovered this core belief. I peel back that layer. But now it has exposed another thing that's even deeper. For instance, I've been on this mission of purging. I think I've been telling you that for the last 2 years.
You have.
And I keep purging and I keep purging. And one day I was laying in a bed and I thought about this time. I must have been about 8 or 9 years old. And I had asked and begged and pleaded for this little lip gloss that was shaped in. It was in lips. The top was a darker gloss. The bottom was a lighter gloss. So when you opened it up, it was a little mirror and you could just rub your gloss on. Very clear, very appropriate for a child. And I carried that little lip gloss with me everywhere I went. And my family, we were going out to dinner one time. And my mother asked me not to bring the lip gloss in, but I could not depart from it to leave it in the car. Heavens, no, I need my lip gloss with me at the dinner table. I take it in spite of her instructions. So, yeah, that's another story. We have dinner, all is well. I'm steadily putting my lip gloss on during dinner. It was time to leave. We left. I don't think anything of it. And I'm in the car, and heaven help me, Lord Jesus, the lip gloss is in the restaurant. And I scream, Mama, I left my lip gloss. Please don't pull off. Can I go back? And she literally looks at me and says, that's what your little tail gets. Because I asked you not to take it in there, and she pulls off. And I cried my eyeballs out. And I remember thinking as a child, I'm never losing anything else. And I'm going to keep my stuff because I don't ever want to forget it. That evolved into this person who I grew up to be, who held on to everything ever so neatly organized. Junk, really, right? Because I'm just holding on to everything. And when I had that epiphany, because I couldn't figure out why I continued to hold on to stuff, because that memory had faded over time. And like I said, I woke up that morning, a few weeks ago, actually. And in that moment, in today's time, I cried because I said that small thing affected me in such a way that I sort of turned into an organized hoarder. But that was that belief that I had to hold on to stuff. And through my purging, it actually felt like I've taken off layers of just those beliefs that I must be responsible for everything and I can't forget anything and don't lose anything. When that's a very human thing, if I forget or lose something, I'm not perfect. And I operated in this spirit of perfection. Never could I ever have anything out of place. I wanted my house organized. Don't do this, don't touch that without washing your hands, take your shoes off. And while I still would prefer that people take their shoes off, if they walk through my house now and their shoes are on, guess what? It's okay because there is a mop and a mop bucket in the other room, and I can simply just mop the floor. And that's the result of the therapy that I have received from you, and just knowing that it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to purge and to let stuff go so that you can receive new things. And the crazier part about that is, in my Christian faith, I know that in order to receive, I must have an open hand. So I will freely give to people. Give them my money, I will donate my time, but it was something about the possessions that I had that I just held on to them so tightly. And it was a counter belief from everything that I have been taught in my Christian faith to give and to receive, to give and to receive. God can't bless you if your hands are closed. But I kept my hands closed for all the things that I possess. A family member dies, give me their furniture. I'll hold on to it. I buy something that I like. I'm gonna hold on to it, even though the clothes don't even fit anymore. But my God, do you see how nice it is? And one day in my purging, God said to me, I can get you 10 more nice lambskin jackets if that's what you desire. Why are you holding on to the ones that don't even fit? Because they're nice? Really? He was like, I'm the owner of the universe. I can get you whatever you desire. I put all those beautiful coats in a bag, took it to a shelter. It is some woman out there who needed that, who could actually fit it, but I was hoarding it. So I'm learning to let go and to receive the new and to
That
know that
God
I'm not
gives you.
responsible for everybody. I've
Let
been
me.
releasing people's furniture and everything. Just it's okay.
That's so profound that you said that, Danielle, because a belief is something that you believe or accept as truth. And the example that you shared about your mom, we're not blaming mom and dad, they did the best they could. That core belief of you got to hold on to stuff. In her adult life, looked like hoarding, looked like, and it ain't because she can't afford to buy 10 more fur coats or lamb coats. It's not that. But holding on to, she was oblivious to the fact that core belief was deep in her. And so everybody who's watching or listening to this, you know, if you're feeling overly responsible, if you're feeling like you got to put yourself last, if you feel guilty, if you go and buy something and then you take it back. But with Danielle, she had, then you hold on to your daddy, her daddy's stuff, and her daddy had died 20 years ago. And I'm like, Danielle, why are you holding on to that? Because this is what happens, everybody. We're all one, everything is connected. And so I told her, I said, it's really a vibration of lack. I got to hold on to this because if I don't. So I said, and it shows up in other places of your life. You got to hold on to, you hold on to stuff that you're ready to release. And so when the spirit downloaded to her that memory, just like that, her new belief was created. I can release and let go. And that's why, with the law of attraction, like attracts like. And that's why, until you identify this is big, what your core limiting beliefs are, you're going to keep manifesting that 95%.
Yep.
It's so powerful. And so Danielle was a perfectionist. Everything had to be. It's a good thing I didn't come to your house, because I don't normally take off my shoes, but I honor other people. And it impacted her. You know, if you are a caretaker right now, my heart goes out to you. But the best thing you can do is really care for yourself first, body, soul, and spirit, so that you can care for others.
Yeah.
That's so powerful. So let's talk about love and just the core belief around love for a lot of people. You know, in codependency, it says you're not good enough. You're not lovable. Who you are is not enough. You can't trust people. And I was telling a client the other day, relationships are built on trust, not love. So we're wired for love, and we really desire love, but we don't know that those doggone core beliefs are directing our choices.
Mm-hmm.
So what did
they
that
really
look
are.
Like for you?
So for me, it was truly, I'm going to get you before you get me. And what that means is, I love both my parents. They did the best they could, but my dad had a whole nother family, outside of our family. My mother never left. She stayed with him to the day he died. But for me, I felt like I can't trust men. And so even in dating, so I got married young, had my baby, realized I didn't want to be in this because I couldn't even be a wife to him because I didn't want to fall into the shoes of my mother. So I was very, I'm not going to say mean, but it was more like roommates, like you do your laundry, you clean up, you make your own plate. If you want something to eat, you cook. I'm a cook for me and my baby. You know, it was very, I just didn't want to feel like I could ever get to a place where you could hurt me in that regard. So I definitely held on to my heart. And just dating guys after being divorced, even before being married, I'm not giving you my whole heart. I'm always keeping my options open because I know you're going to cheat because you're a cheater. Well, guess what?
So
If I keep
good.
Feeling that, guess what they're going to do? Even if I never say it, but that's my belief, then they will cheat. And so when I began to date and the guys would cheat, I said, see, that's exactly what they do. So
you
I'm going to just keep
attracted that.
Exactly. And I kept saying this could not be right, because then I would look at other people and they're married and they have this love and this true relationship. And I was like, why isn't that for me? Like, will I ever feel that way? So I had been decided that that was not for me. Obviously, that's just not what God wanted for me. And I was okay with that. And I even taught my daughter those false core beliefs. And I know they're deeply rooted in her, unfortunately. And I apologize to my baby for that, because it's not the truth. And children hold on to what their parents say, because that's like your God figure in the world. You know, you look up to your parents. So for me to be hurt by my father, the first therapist that I went to, this is why I say everything is not for everybody. You know, I wanted to cry about it. I said, it hurt my feelings so bad to find out that he had a family, another child, another woman, and they spend Christmases together when we're thinking he's on a business trip. I can remember some of those Christmases, him not being home. And I said, he cheated on us, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And so the therapist was like, no, he was still your father. He cheated on your mother. And don't cry about that. And I'm looking at her like, no, that hurt me. And it shaped me and formed me. And I realized I needed something else. And then I found you. And we start talking about those things, right? And just digging deep.
Let me make
Because
a
I
statement. Let me make a statement. So for everybody listening, whatever happened to you in your childhood, your mama and your daddy, Danielle had no idea that her father's actions was putting and coding in her DNA and in her subconscious, you can't trust men. You can't give your whole self to a man. You gotta always, I've had clients, they've allowed me to share this, who said, as a woman, well, you gotta always have your own money. You gotta always have a private account. And so don't trust, don't get all the way in, don't give your whole heart. Really comes from a wounded, unhealed place. We were created to love. We're wired to love. Danielle is so loving, giving. So is her daughter. And so whatever happened to you is really transferred over to you. You caught it. You caught the
I did.
experience. You caught your mom. Your mom had to feel some kind of way now, because she
Oh, for
knew every
sure.
woman knows. So you caught the feeling of it. And that became your core belief in relationships. And I told her when she came to me, I said, you need to cry for months about what you experienced. Crying is a way of releasing, coming out of denial, and acknowledging, okay, that's what happened, but I'm going to change things.
And I didn't realize how much I actually had gone through, right?
So
I had
much,
normalized that pain. So I
so
just thought
much.
it was normal. And when I knew it, I was sort of embarrassed, but it was normal for me. And as I began to share with more people, or they would see this little girl at the house, like, who is that? And I'm like, oh, my dad's daughter.
Oh, wow.
It made me feel sad, and I couldn't shake it because I really thought that all men cheated. I just did, because the first man I ever loved cheated on me, essentially, in
Yeah.
my mind, right? So it had me making very poor decisions in relationships, so much so that I knew I had to work on me, because I knew I wasn't receiving everything that God had in store for me. I couldn't receive it because I didn't even believe I was worth it or deserved it.
Right. And she was making choices from a wounded place. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't go to the arms of your partner to get only what God can give you. And
Amen.
so, since Danielle has and is healing, she's changed her whole paradigm, her whole beliefs around love, around caring for herself. So talk to us about love. What are your new, and she's transforming. I tell my clients, transforming is a verb.
Yes,
It's
it
ING. So how are you shifting and changing and releasing those old core beliefs about you can't trust, you can't, men, they all whatever, to your new paradigm?
So, I actually started dating a gentleman in 2021. And this is funny because it combined core beliefs centered around love and codependency. So in the beginning of the relationship, anything that was wrong, I wanted to fix him, right? I want to help you. I want to fix you. Let me do this. You didn't have that. I'm going to do this. And by the time I met you, I was at my wit's end because I couldn't fix him and I needed help and I didn't understand. Like, why isn't he being fixed? And when I realized I was codependent, I had to back away and I had to take a break. And I had to say to myself, let me work on me. Let me discover the things that are lacking in me. I trusted him to a point that I felt like I didn't feel like he would cheat on me, but I wasn't so sure that he was for me, right? And as I worked on myself and we took a break, a 6 month break, and I continued to go through therapy with you real strong, I got back into church. I really started seeking God for advice and help. I realized that a high earning man does not mean a high quality man. And just because someone may not earn financially what I thought was appropriate, doesn't mean that they're not a high quality person. So I was struggling with all these images in my mind that I thought made up a man. One, can't trust a man because he's going to cheat. Two, he needs to have a lot of money to take care of me because if he does cheat, at least he's going to keep up this lifestyle that I'm used to because that's what I saw, right? I lived a very privileged life.
You
And when
did.
I say my father was able to keep two households and both were running at an echelon level, that's what I'm telling you. So I thought, well, if I got to go through it, at least I can live this top tier life. But God saw fit to give me that top tier life as a single woman, that He would provide those things. So, as I'm still going through therapy with you and making sure that I'm discovering my truth, I realize I don't have to count out a man who may not earn as much that I think he should, but as long as he's working and he's consistent. And if he's a bus driver, a warehouse worker, works for FedEx, it's okay because he's working and he's consistent and he's a high value man. Then I heard God say to me, one can draw 1,000, but two can draw 10,000. And I realized partnership. So my fear of connecting with anybody was keeping me from being able to create a life that expanded far beyond myself. But in the partnership with someone else, the world is the limit, right? Because now whatever we're doing, it exceeds what I could have ever done by myself. If we want to do a ministry together, if we want to combine our families and create whatever, it's just more expansive because of it's two. And the crazy thing is, and I guess it's not crazy, with my now fiance,
Congratulations.
thank you. I was doing ministry work, outreaches on my own, and he's like, I want to join you in that. Like, that is amazing that you do all these things for women that are in need. And I was taken aback, and I realized that now I have someone to help me. Now I have another person there for me. I can trust him. I don't have to look at him sideways and think, oh, is he cheating on me? He showed to me who he was, and he was a high quality person and remains to be that way. So it's one of those things where when I changed my belief and I stopped projecting my beliefs onto others, whether I said it or not, spirit attracts spirit. The persons that I attracted in the past were what I was feeling in my heart. And when my heart posture changed, I began to attract the spirit of the person who I desired to have. The truth in that, I want someone faithful. I want someone to love me. I want us to worship God together. I want us to be able to travel. I want our families to unite. And when I was going through all of those therapy sessions with you, and we were on our break, God reminded me to go back to my journal. And he said, what did you ask me for? And when I realized that's who Pat was, Patrick, I said, wow. Because also, when you have operated in dysfunction for so long, when something good does come to you, you think it's something wrong because it's not dysfunctional.
Let me make a comment, then we got to go to commercial break. And y'all, I realize I'm not going to teach. I'm just going to let Danielle do the whole show because it's just by the spirit. But let me just say something. I said to her, Danielle, leave that man alone. Stop trying to fix him. Stop trying to change him and change yourself. And Danielle just gave you what the law of attraction looks like. When you are accustomed to dysfunction, I had a client the other day. Her life is peaceful now, and she's looking for something because she's accustomed to drama and just codependency. So Danielle is walking out in her story verbally what codependency does. And then after I say this, we're going to break. But I'm going to say, if codependency wasn't important, why is it that all of you who've been on a cruise, you didn't know it? They had codependent / 12-step meetings every day on every cruise. Why would they have that? Now, they may not say the word codependency. They may not say the word 12-step. I've been on like 25 cruises. Every cruise, they have an opportunity for people to go to meetings. I sent Danielle to CODA meetings. But anyway, we're going to go to these quick commercials and then I'm going to be right back, everybody. So stay tuned.
Are you feeling stuck? Are you ready to live a life beyond your wildest dream? Constance Arnold is a seasoned and experienced professional licensed counselor for 25 years and a certified success life coach and would love to partner with you to create your dreams. She's coached and trained over 10,000 clients on 5 continents and has a proven track record of success. Constance will assist you in getting a clear vision for your life and develop customized strategies, projects, and action steps to begin manifesting your dream. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and visit her website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
So guys, we're back. This is so good. We're talking about how your beliefs create your reality. We don't even know it. Our beliefs are stored on the inside of us and comes from our parents, our experiences. If you're repeating the same pattern, the same choices, all of the above, you have to know you must change your limiting belief. I'm not worthy. One lady said, well, I'm too overweight. Can I attract a man? That's a core belief. Some people were talked about their weight when they were children. And so she believes that, you know, well, I don't have a degree. Can I make $1 million? So many people are millionaires and they didn't even finish college. That's a core belief. So that's why with the law of attraction, it's essential in coaching. It's essential. Change your core limiting beliefs, and then you'll change your choices. Mm-hmm. All right. So what else do you want to share?
So you talked about sending me to CODA, and that's a good segue for me, because when I first went to the meetings,
did you want to go?
I did not. Mm-hmm. I did not. So I'm just sitting there because you advised me, sit. Don't say nothing. You don't know nothing. Listen. So I'm calling in and I'm just sitting there, I'm listening and I'm thinking, what a waste of my time, because I found an all women's group. It was at 8 p.m. I think I would join, and they were every night. So a few weeks, you know, just being home alone, I would just listen and listen. Sometimes I would cry listening to the stories and I would think, oh, I'm not that bad. Oh, I don't have those type of problems. Oh, nope. And one of the instructions from your attendance is you cannot interject. You cannot provide any type of counsel or, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, to the person who's speaking when you have your 1 or 2 minutes to speak. And in that moment, while even if in the beginning I never thought that I was like them, it taught me to put my hands under my thighs and not say anything, not try to fix
it. Okay, let me tell you why. Excuse me. Because in most 12 steps and codependency groups, they have a rule now, no crosstalk.
Yes.
So that means We know codependency, trying to preach, teach, whatever, but you allow the person to say what they feel and you feel it empathetically, and then you move to the next person.
Mm-hmm. And that created in me the sense of, it's not my job to fix everybody or to care for everybody. And so I kept going back, because in the beginning, I would cry my eyeballs out every time someone spoke. And as I continued to go there, I was able to say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Who's next? And then I didn't have that desire in me to feel responsible. And then I started to think, probably about a month in, oh, Constance was right. I did need these classes, even though it seemed crazy to me to go to a 12-step program. Then I started buying the material, and then I could identify myself in the books that I was reading and the different phases or the steps that they had. And I was like, wow, I've lived this my whole life, almost as if I were born that way. Because again, I said to you, as a little girl, I thought I was responsible for my mother. And then on top of that, my mother makes me responsible for my brother. And so I thought that's who I was. I thought that's my belief was that I take care of everybody. If I went to a friend's house and your house isn't clean, let me clean your house for you. Let me help you with this. Oh, you want to redecorate? Let me take over. And, you know, and I've had to say to myself, girl, sit down. That is none of your business. Worry about yourself. How about that? Care for yourself first. And it helped me. It helped me so much. I don't go to the meetings as often now.
Okay, hold up. She don't have to go to the meetings as often now because she has healed. And I understand the power of, so if I'm coaching you, and I ask you to do something, it's intentional. I understand the power of one-on-one coaching married to groups. When you're in a group, it's something miraculous that happens. So a merging of those two can produce phenomenal transformation change. I don't believe in staying in group forever. You go in there, you get what you get, and then we move forward. So with Danielle now, we're moving forward with what she wants, what strategies and techniques, how to do 1, 2, 3, 4. But she had to go to that group for a season. Don't nobody want to go to a group. I went to a group for 2 years. That was my healing place. But the group and the Holy Spirit rooted out all of that stuff out of Danielle. And like she said, she's being peeled like an onion, and look at her life now. So that's why we did group plus coaching.
And that makes sense. And so much so that you always say, if you coach with me for a year and you do the work, you won't recognize your life after 12 months. Well, I've coached with you, done the work, and even 2 years into it, my life is completely transformed. I sold my house that I was tied to emotionally, that literally I felt like I was supposed to keep it. I have had a new outlook on love. I'm engaged.
You got your ring on.
I don't. I thought about it as soon as I sat down. Like, I forgot to put my ring on. It's all still new to me, all the listeners. You know, I have to remember to put my ring on.
Okay, you're laughing, but that's a belief that you're engaged. It's a part of who you are. It's your I am-ness now. Okay, keep going.
You know, I moved into a house that I had owned for years, and it feels more like home than I would have ever imagined because I'm able to create my new memories here, my new beliefs in this house. In that other house that I lived in, it was me, my mother, and my daughter for 24 years. And so staying there made me feel like I was stuck in the past.
You were.
And I had to get out of there. And people were like, oh my God, you're going to sell that big, beautiful home? Yes, because once again, God can give me anything that I desire. So I desire a new home. I know I will get it. But I had to first close that chapter and be okay with it and let that house and the memories serve for the things that it represented in its time. But it's a new season for me now. I want new things. The things that happened to me in the past happened. They shaped me. They formed me. But they are not me today. I am in control of my thoughts, my desires. And because of my faith, the things that God says about me, I have to believe it and realize that all things are working together for my good. He wants what's good for me. He wants the best for me. And I have to believe that too. He told me I'm his daughter. So just like any good father with their child in a human aspect would give them all they care, how much more would God give to me? And I'm receiving it and I realize I'm worth it now. Because in that codependency, I didn't feel worthy to receive good things.
That's so true. Even before we got on this call, if you're watching the video, I said, Danielle, you look so beautiful. You said, well, I said, hold up, let me say it again. You look so beautiful. So she's still learning to receive and to be open. So happy for you.
Thank you.
Got 5 minutes. What would you say to somebody who, man, you got a remarkable story, Danielle? Can you feel it?
I can. I think I would say to listeners, both male and female, don't underestimate the effects of childhood traumas.
Yeah.
And, you know, remember this, where you were initially first hurt, that's where you are emotionally. And until you are able to identify it and to work on it and to heal it, you're going to continue to operate out of that space where that pain is coming from. And you won't even know it. You'll keep encountering the same traumas in your adulthood over and over again, and it'll just have different faces, places, or things, but it's repeated, and you're going through those cycles because of a hurt that you don't even realize or are aware of. For instance, like that little lip gloss, I didn't even remember it until God dropped it into my spirit. So your friends are great to speak to. Don't get me wrong, I love my girl talks. But finding a real therapist who you connect with, who's able to go deep, and for you to do the work yourself, it's worth it. You know, life is for the living. We don't know how much more time we have left, but I am determined that all the summers that are ahead of me are going to be good years. Because God said that I ain't seen nothing yet. My future is brighter than my past. And I trust God enough. And I'm ready to walk into that season.
Wow. Let me just end with this. Danielle, every Friday, I don't care if she's out of the country, in Europe, I'm going to receive her accountability update. Every Friday, Danielle said, this is what I'm done. This is what I'm doing. And I told her that is such a powerful characteristic, integrity, that she has bought in for herself, that she says she's not only invested financially, but she said, I'm so invested in this process. And I just believe in myself and Constance enough. The Bible says any two is searching into every Friday. And I tell all my other clients, y'all need to be like Danielle. Where's your accountability? So if you want to work with me, and see, it's by the spirit. If you don't feel led that it's of God, then don't do this. You can do a discovery call with me. Email me Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I have a guarantee. It ain't failed yet. If you work with me for a year, and if you do what I ask you to do, not that I'm trying to be dictatorial, everybody's different. And you choose to do the inner work, like Danielle, you will not recognize the landscape of your life. I'm just telling you, Yeah, she ain't nothing but a witness and a living witness. And Danielle, thank you so much. What a story.
Thank
I
you.
am
Thank
so
you.
excited about your future. I can see you on platforms. I'm just telling you prophetically, all over the world, sharing who you are. So many people are going to be able to relate to this. Your
Yes.
vulnerability, your honesty, your just sharing everything. I know it's touching
Thank
people
you.
right now as they're either listening to it or watching it. God is no respecter of person. When she called me, I just knew by the spirit I'm supposed to work with her. I don't say yes to everybody. It has to be a divine connection. And man, God came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. She's
Absolutely.
walking in that. She's walking in the law of attraction, like attracts like. And boy, her life. I hope you invite me to your big new home and your big wedding
Absolutely.
and on your yacht and all the other wonderful stuff that you're doing. And you know, when you have God in your life, you know, He really accelerates healing. Things
Yes.
happen for us really quickly. I love you.
I
So
love you
proud of
more.
you. Everybody, once
Thank
again,
you.
go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. What a story. Wow. Everybody, as I say, at the end of every show, more in 2024, you can be, do, and have anything that you desire in 2024.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.